It is good to have Hal and Fran back with us, but they are still not firing on all cylinders. So if you will join me in a prayer, I want to pray for their continued healing. Father in heaven, we continue to lift up Hal and Fran. Lord, it is good to have them back, yes, but Lord, there is still more healing to be done, and we ask, Father, you would expedite that healing in their lives in the power, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that the congestion, the junk, the funk, Lord, would continue to leave their body in an expedited fashion, Lord, that you would just speed that up, that you would just heal them up from the tips of their toes all the way up to the top of their head, Lord, that you would just move that stuff out of the world. Lord, thank you that they're here today. Lord, they were surely missed. And Lord, it's good to have them here, but Lord, we need them functioning on all full power. And Lord, thank you for an answer to prayer so far, but Lord, we're asking for more. And we know that you will grant it because we're asking it in the strong name of Jesus Christ. So Lord, thank you in advance for what you're about to do in Jesus' name. Amen. God is good. All the time he's good. And I'm glad that I serve a risen Savior. I'm glad that I don't worship a God who's dead. I'm glad that I don't worship somebody whose tomb I can go visit and he's still there. I'm glad that I don't worship somebody who is a statue that I can go and feed food to and go throw the food away because he didn't eat it. I'm glad that I serve a God who is alive and active and moving and healing and living and working and changing and moving and doing stuff even as we speak this very moment. Amen. How's that for a sermon? Well, I'm not even getting started yet, so... If you have your Bibles, even if you don't have your Bibles, find one and turn to the book of 2 Kings. It comes right after 1 Kings, so that will help you. 2 Kings chapter 5, and here is a story about a man named Naaman. Second Kings chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. We're going to read through about verse 14, I think. I'm going to stop in between some of the verses, so just kind of bear with me. I'm not going to read it all through in its entirety at the onset. I'm going to work our way through it and see who's back there at the computer. Gloriana, bless your heart. She is so good back there. Everybody give Gloriana a hand. She's gonna follow right along with what I need and just keep y'all right up to speed. So, 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, the commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man in his master's sight and highly regarded, for through him the Lord had given victory to Aram, and he was a mighty warrior. But he had leprosy. It's interesting to note that the Bible tells us that it was through him and not by him that the Lord had given victory to Aram. Okay, Aram. Now, Aram was a country, a nation that, listen, was Israel's enemy. Aram was a nation that periodically and routinely invaded Israel, pillaged, destroyed crops, took captives. Later on, we're going to find that Naaman had a servant that was an Israelite, captive. They were enemies of Israel. Okay, so this is an enemy of the Israelites. But the Lord had given victory to Aram through Naaman. Not by Naaman, but through Naaman. Listen, God will always do it through you, not by you. Okay, that's important to note. It's very important to note that God will always do it through you, not by you. Because listen, if it could be done by you, why God? God will always do it through you so that He gets the glory, not you. It's always for God's glory, not your glory. It's never about your glory. It's always about God's glory. It's always about God's work in you that makes it happen. He's a commander of an enemy army. And listen, he's a great man, he's highly regarded, and he's a mighty warrior. That's some good stuff, right? That's good stuff. That's great stuff. He is a great man. He's highly regarded, and he's a mighty warrior. How many of y'all would like to be known for those things? Come on. I'm digging it. A great man, highly regarded, and a mighty warrior. Jeff, I'm down with that, brother. A great man, highly regarded, and a mighty warrior. If that could be on my tombstone, I'm like, Rebecca, can we go ahead and just buy me a tombstone and inscribe that on there? And I'd like, okay, I'm down. A great man in his master's sight, and highly regarded, and a mighty warrior. But he had leprosy. He was great, but. Now I'm going to use this word repeatedly in this message today. And I need you to understand that it may get awkward, but I need you to stay with me, okay? I'm not talking about human anatomy here, okay? I want to make this very clear. It can get awkward. You got to bear with me. It's for a purpose. Yes, we all have certain parts. But one thing we all have at least is one butt. Okay? We all have a butt in our lives. No, I'm serious. Keep it clean. Keep it clean. He was great, but it didn't matter on the battlefield for Naaman because he had armor. Leprosy is a skin condition. It's a skin condition that causes the skin basically to rot away, and you lose feeling. And basically what happens is because the feeling is gone and they can't feel, that then the cuts will happen and it'll become infected. They can't feel. And it'll begin to fester, and they can't feel the pain. There's no pain. And that's what causes them to lose fingers and digits, is because of the infection and whatnot. They don't feel the pain. They don't know that there's something going on there. And that's what happens. And it's a terrible thing. Okay? But on the battlefield, he had his armor on. He was a mighty warrior. It didn't matter on the battlefield because he had armor on. His skin condition was covered up. All the enemy knew that he was a great warrior. They didn't know about the butt. You see, he was a great man. He was highly regarded. He was a mighty warrior. And when the scripture says, but he had leprosy, that didn't matter to the enemy. They didn't know about it. He had armor on. Truth is that we all have something that we use to cover our butt. I'm talking about that issue we keep hidden. And if we're honest, we all will find that we have multiple issues. You're great with people, but you don't take care of yourself. You're really great at succeeding, but terrible at being content. So you're successful, but you're miserable. I'm knocking it out of the park at work, but my 15-year-old at home. Do I even need to finish that sentence? I'm great with people out in public. Now, I have no idea what time it is, so just bear with me. My marriage looks great when we're out in public or when we're at church. But when we get home, we can't stand each other. We look really good . Look like we can live like the Joneses, but we're up to our debt, and we're up to our eyeballs in debt. We all have our buts. Here's something you need to know, though. A true encounter with God will expose your butts. Verse 2. At this time, the Arameans had gone out in bands and had taken a young girl from the land of Israel. Remember, they were raiders. And she was serving Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would go to the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." And there's something very important here. In a minute, I'm going to read verse 4 because you're not blessed because of the word of God that you hear. You're not even blessed because of the word of God that you understand. You're blessed because of the word of God that you do. I'm going to say this again because this is too good. This is too important for you to miss. I want everybody to listen to this. You are not blessed because of the word of God that you hear. You're not blessed because of the word of God that you understand. You are blessed because of the word of God that you do. You can hear sermons about love and forgiveness, but if you never act on love and forgiveness, it is of no value to you. You can understand what repentance is, but if you never actively repent, that understanding is of no value to you. So verse 4 becomes very important. And if we're serious about acting on faith instead of just understanding what faith is, verse 4, listen. And Naaman went and told his master what the girl from the land of Israel said. He acted. Are you willing to listen and act upon God's word, even when it comes from someone that seems to be smaller or less important than you? This was an enemy servant girl. Do I need to remind you what value women had in that day and time? Verse 5. "Go now," said the king of Aram, "and I will send you with a letter to the king of Israel." Now hang on. We got an issue here. Go back to the verse 4. Go back one more. Go back one more. Verse 3. Go back to verse 3. Verse 3. She said to her mistress, if only my master would see the, what's this word say? Prophet who is in Samaria, listen, he would cure him of his leprosy. Who did she say to go see? Okay, skip ahead to verse 5. By all means, go, the king of Aram replied. I will send a letter to the king of Israel. Do you see a discrepancy here? The mistress, the servant said to her mistress, oh, if he would only go see the prophet in Israel. So Naaman went and told the king, and the king sent a letter to the king of Israel and said, go and see the king. The king is not the prophet. We're going to see what happens here in just a second. And I'll send a letter to the king of Israel. So Naaman departed, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. He went prepared to pay to get healed. He went prepared to pay a lot. This is a lot of stuff. Okay. And the letter that he took to the king of Israel stated, with this letter I have sent my servant Naaman, so that you, this is a letter to the king, so that you, king, may cure him of his leprosy. When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and asked, am I God, killing and giving life, that this man expects me to cure a leper? Surely you can see that he is seeking a quarrel with me. Now when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that's a sign of great despair, great distress when you tear your clothes. Sent a message to the king. Why have you torn your clothes? Please let the man come to me and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. Now, horses and chariots and the silver and all the other stuff, okay? Then Elisha sent him a messenger who said, I'm digging this. Elisha didn't even meet with him. Sent a messenger and said, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan and your flesh will be restored and you'll be clean. But Naaman went away angry, saying, I thought surely he would come out. I thought surely I'd at least get to see the prophet. I thought he'd come out, stand, and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and wave his hand over the spot and cure my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could not I have washed him and been cleansed? So he turned away and went away in a rage. Now we thought that Naaman's butt that he had was leprosy. Okay. But here he showed his real butt. His real butt was his pride. See, he had already stooped so low as to go to the enemy to seek help. But now he is told to simply go and unceremoniously wash himself in the Jordan River 7 times. See, in Naaman's eyes, the Jordan was a dirty creek that was in the enemy territory, when there were pristine waters in his home country that would suffice much better, and he's angry that there's not any fanfare that the prophet didn't even come out, that there wasn't some grand gesture or hocus pocus or anything like that. He's already stooped so low as to come to enemy territory. How could he stoop any lower? Have you ever known anyone who was so hard-headed that they would rather suffer than humble themselves a little bit lower? Have you ever known anybody like that? Have you ever known, really, I'm serious, have you ever known anyone like that? Have you ever known your pastor? Because your pastor has been that person. I have said, well, fine, I'll show them. I'll just sit here and I've done that. Let me tell you what you get for that. Ulcers, upset stomachs, headaches, heart palpitations probably or something like that. I don't know what else. Physical issues. Emotional issues. Let me tell you what else. There's something more, even worse than physical and emotional issues. You have spiritual issues. Bitterness, hatred, unforgiveness will set in. And let me tell you, that will burn a hole in you deeper than any heartburn, deeper than any... It'll tear you up. Ask me how I know, because I've lived through it. And it's no joke. Not fun. I don't ever want to do that again. That's just pride, folks. And let me be just quite honest with you, because I'm speaking from personal experience, it's stupidity. On my part, it was stupidity. We need to have people in our lives that will speak freely to us. We need to have people in our lives that will speak the hard truth. We need to allow people in our lives that will come to us and say, Mike, you got to hear me. You got to line. You got to line. You need to man up. You need to set that stuff aside. You need to man up, and that doesn't mean toughen up and bow up. You need to man up and get on your knees. You need to be strong enough to be weak for a minute. Naaman's servant, verse 13. However, approached him and said, My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? Somebody spoke the hard truth. So Naaman went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored and became like that of a little child, and he was clean. Naaman was not healed until he humbled himself completely, folks. I know you want to be healed of something today. Maybe it's a spirit of unforgiveness. Maybe it's a spirit of bitterness. Maybe it's an emotional hurt. Maybe it's a traumatic event in your past. Maybe it's a hurt that you caused someone else. Quite possibly it's an addiction that continually drags you down over and over again. I got news for you. Healing is here. You know that it exists. You've heard about it. You may even understand it, but you've never experienced it. For whatever reason, whatever your butt is, it's time to strip off the armor. Stand before a living God. A living God that is powerful, Stand before Him bare and exposed, humbled, and be willing to go wash in the enemy's dirty creek if that's what it takes to be healed. Or would you rather suffer in your pride than to stoop so low? 1 Peter 5, there's a verse that says, God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand that He may lift you up in due time. This is a story not so much about the healing of Naaman, but about the journey to the healing. He was a great man, highly regarded, a mighty warrior. But in order to be healed, he had to humble himself. He did that, and he was blessed. That blessing can be yours also. And I don't know what your butts are. We all wear our armor well. However, God knows us better than we know ourselves. And we're not fooling Him. Why not just be honest with Him since He knows us already? Come clean. Allow God to do a cleansing in us that is real and lasting. Do you remember? We are blessed not because of what we know or what we believe. We are blessed because of what we do. Healing is here. You can receive it. Not just because you believe it. Not because you know it exists. Not just because you want it. But because you humble yourself before a living and powerful God. You're willing to lay yourself bare before Him. Humble yourself before Him. And allow Him to do a cleansing that no other thing can do in your life. Only He can do that. But it doesn't happen just because you believe it, just because you know it exists. It happens because you actively participate in the process. If you want to experience what it means to extend forgiveness, and get rid of bitterness, only God can help you do that. He will help you let that go. If you want to understand what it means to love someone without expecting love in return, because that's what true love is. It's not a selfish kind of love where you love to get love back. That's not what love is. That's a self-gratifying love. Love, true love, is you love, giving love only. And if you get love back, that's a bonus. If you want to experience true love, that kind of love, you want to love that kind of love, only God can give you the capacity to love in that manner. If you humble yourself before the Lord, He will give you the capacity to love in that manner. All these things only God can do in your life. And only if you will humble yourself before Him, actively participate in the process. It takes work, and it's not easy. We've got to set some stuff aside. We've got to strip off the armor and lay ourselves bare before the Lord. Are you willing? Or are you going to sit back and say, I'm just going to suffer through it? Choice is yours. Father in heaven, help us. Help us to choose life. Lord, you said you have come to give us life and life more abundantly. Lord, help us to choose life. The life you intended us to have. Lord, we can't do this on our own. Lord, we have tried and we have tried and we have tried and we have tried. and we have failed. So, Lord, it is my sincere prayer that today we would turn it over to you. We would humble ourselves and say, Lord, I've proven that I can't do it. I'm going to turn it over to you. I'm going to humble myself. And if it takes me washing myself in the enemy's dirty creek, that's what I'll do because I'm tired. I'm tired of fighting this thing over and over again and failing over and over again. And I'm ready to be done with it. I'm ready to cut loose. And I'm going to turn it over to you for good. If that's you today, I want to invite you to actively act upon that. Whatever that means for you, I don't know what that means for you. But I want to encourage you to take the step to actively put that into motion. Whether that means you need to speak to someone today, whether that means you need to come to the altar, come for prayer, make a phone call, walk across the room, take a drive today. Sit down with someone and have a conversation. I don't think thinking about it is going to change anything. It's going to take a step. I want to encourage you, take that first step. Worry about the second step after you've taken the first step. Lord, help us to take one step. Help us to take one step today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me? The praise team is going to lead us in a song.